Today is the 14th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today around the global campfire as we reach the threshold and step into a brand new week together. And as we so often say, we just mark the time. This is the beginning of the week. And the week is a vista out in front of us that we must walk through. And what it's going to look like and how we're going to experience it will be made up of all of the decisions that we make and all of the words that we say and all of the actions that we take. That is how we will write the story of our lives upon this week. And so coming around the global campfire each and every day and allowing the scriptures to be a part of that decision-making process, a part of the things that we're going to form and say, a part of the actions that we're going to take. What a gift. And what a gift it is to be here together. Today is also Mother's Day here in the United States. I know celebrating mothers is a tradition throughout the world, and that happens on different days in different regions, but here today we celebrate mothers. And so I certainly have a great amount of gratitude to my mom, who has departed and gone on to heaven. But I appreciate my wife, who's the mother of our children. And I look at my daughter-in-law and my daughter, who are also mothers. And so mothers are in our lives, and we wouldn't be here without a mother. And so we thank you, moms. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts with deep gratitude and celebrate you today as we take the next step forward into this brand new week. And of course, regardless of which week or day it is, we pick up where we left off. And so that's going to lead us back into the book of 1 Samuel as we center ourselves there in 1 Samuel around the life of Israel's first king, King Saul. We'll read from the Evangelical Heritage Version this week. Today, 1 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people Israel. Therefore, listen to the voice of the Lord. This is what the Lord of armies says. I will repay Amalek for what they did to Israel when they blocked Israel's way as it was coming up out of Egypt. Go and strike Amalek. Devote everything they have to destruction. Do not spare them. Kill both men and women, infants and nursing babies, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys." So Saul summoned the troops and organized them for battle at Telaim. There were 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set up an ambush in the ravine. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, leave. Get away from the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them, because you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Saul struck the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which borders Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and he devoted all the people to destruction with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the cattle, the fattened calves, and the lambs, along with everything else that was good, because they were not willing to devote them to destruction. But everything that was undesirable and worthless, that they devoted to destruction. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and he has not carried out my words." Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Samuel got up to meet Saul early in the morning. But Samuel was told Saul went to Carmel, and he set up a monument for himself there. Then he turned and continued down to Gilgal. So Samuel went to Saul, and there he saw Saul offering a burnt offering to the Lord from the best of the spoils that he had brought from the Amalekites. When Samuel came to Saul, Saul said to him, "You are blessed by the Lord. I have carried out the word of the Lord." Samuel said, "Then what does this mean? This bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul said, "They have been brought here from the Amalekites because the people spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we have completely destroyed the rest." And Samuel said to Saul, "Stop right there. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." He said to him, "Tell me." Samuel said, "Though you were insignificant in your own sight, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. The Lord anointed you king over Israel. Then the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and devote the Amalekites, that sinful people, to destruction. Fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why didn't you listen to the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have completed the mission that the Lord gave me. I have captured Agag, king of Amalek, and I have completely destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the plunder, sheep, cattle, and the best of what was devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." Samuel said, "Does the Lord take as much pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Know this, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to pay attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is the same as the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance is like having useless idols or consulting household gods. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you as king." Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed against the command of the Lord, as well as against your words, because I was afraid of the people, so I listened to their voice. But now please pardon my sin and come back with me again so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." As Samuel turned to leave, Saul grabbed the edge of his robe and it tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel away from you today, and he has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. The splendor of Israel will not lie or change his mind, because he is not a man who changes his mind." Then Saul said, "I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, "Bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here to me." Agag came to him confidently. He said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so your mother will be childless among women." Then Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel then went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. Until the day of his death, Samuel never again came to see Saul. Samuel did, however, mourn for Saul. But the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I see a king for myself among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will let you know what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the person that I point out to you." So Samuel did what the Lord had told him to do and went to Bethlehem. Trembling with fear, the elders of the city came to meet him. They said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, "Certainly this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at how tall he is, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not look at things the way man does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Is that all of the young men?" Jesse said, "There still is the youngest, but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him, for we cannot sit down to eat until he comes." He sent for him and brought him in. David had red hair and striking eyes and was good looking. The Lord said, "Get up, anoint him, because this is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. The Spirit of the Lord rushed on David with power from that day forward. After that, Samuel set out and returned to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. So Saul's servant said to him, "Please listen to us. An evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Our Lord, please command your servants who are here with you to seek out a man who is skilled at playing the lyre. Then when the evil spirit from God is on you, he will play the lyre and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Find a man who can play well and bring him to me." And one of the young attendants replied, "As a matter of fact, I have seen a son of Jesse from Bethlehem who is a skillful player. He is a strong, brave man, fit for war. He shows good judgment in what he says and is a handsome man, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a container of wine, and a young goat, and he sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him. Saul loved him, and David became his armor bearer. So Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Permit David to remain and serve me, for I am very pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came over Saul, David would take the lyre in his hand and play. So Saul would be soothed and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. John 8:1-20. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came back into the temple courts, and all the people kept coming to him. He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and had her stand in the center. "Teacher," they said to him, "This woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They asked this to test him so that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground with his finger. But when they kept on asking him for an answer, he stood up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the older men. Jesus was left alone with the woman in the center. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not sin anymore." When Jesus spoke to them again, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You testify about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." "Even if I testify about myself," Jesus replied, "my testimony is valid, because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I were to judge, my judgment would be true, because I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is valid. I am one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would also know my Father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the offering box. But no one arrested him because his time had not arrived yet. Psalm 110. The Lord's Decree to My Lord, by David, a psalm. The decree of the Lord to my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool under your feet. The Lord will stretch out your strong scepter from Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will be willing on the day of your power. In majesty of holiness, from the womb of the dawn, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the manner of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations. He will fill valleys with corpses. He will crush heads over the wide world. He will drink from a stream beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Proverbs 15:8-10. A sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but a prayer of the upright gains his favor. The way of a wicked person is repulsive to the Lord, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Harsh discipline waits for anyone who leaves the path, and a person who hates correction will die. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this brand new week offered to us as a gift. and dispensed to us moment by moment. And as we move into this week and into the obligations and responsibilities of our lives, come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth. Lead us deeper into Jesus. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. And all of our thoughts, words, and deeds, may we acknowledge you and all that we are. And may we be with you this week, acknowledging and becoming aware of your presence in our lives, moment by moment, that there will not be a moment of this week that you are not present, that you are invited into everything about this week and everything about who we are as you transform us into your likeness. Come, Jesus, we love you, and we are eager to share companionship as we navigate through this week. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
I am Judy from Wilton, California. I just heard it is May 6th, and I just listened to Brian. And the first caller after that was for junk to treasure. Her daughter-in-law and newborn baby was killed in a car wreck. And her son ran down to see about the wreck, and it was her. Lord Jesus, I don't know what to say. I have no words to make things any better, except please, please be with junk treasure and her son. They need you now more than anything in the world, Lord Jesus. There can be nothing deeper in the valley than this kind of pain. Walk them out of it, Lord Jesus. Be with them. Let them know that the whole Dad family, the whole fire campfire is around them and calling out for God for them. Please help them get through it, Lord Jesus. Be with them. We all be on our knees praying for junk to treasure and her son. We love you, girl, and we love your son. And God will be there to take in that baby and her mama. With open arms, he welcomes them home. Please, Lord Jesus, have mercy on these two people and their whole family. Oh, I just wish I didn't have to hear those kinds of news, and I'm quite sure they wish they didn't have to go through this kind of mess. But God will bring you through. God will bring you through, taking our junk and making it treasure that is thrown into our lives. We love you, girl, and we are so sorry. Amen.
Hi, this is Julia. I'm calling to pray for Byron from Florida. I'm a little bit behind on the DABs. So I just heard your phone call today about your wife having panic attacks. I wanted to call because I went through a similar situation when I had just gotten married, and I went through very severe anxiety and panic attacks multiple times a day for like 3 months straight. And it was probably the hardest season of my entire life. But what I wanted to say was that in retrospect, it was actually the most beautiful season of my life also, because it helped me understand who I was in Christ. It made me hold on to the Lord like I had never held on to him before. And because of that, I understood what it was to rest in his love. And so finding my identity in Christ and resting in his love became like my foundation for peace. And it completely transformed my family, my husband. You know, I know you said you were calling because you needed wisdom as a husband. And, you know, we were newlyweds, me and my husband, when we started going through this, but the Lord even sustained my husband in this. You know, my husband, I remember he was fasting and he was praying, and, as we were taking it day by day, but the one thing that we knew was that the Lord was faithful, right? And he was going to get us out of this. And because of that really rough season, nothing else that we have gone through has compared to that season. Like, it felt like we were married for 10 years after only being married for about 3 months. And so I just wanted to encourage you and let you know that the Lord is with you. I am praying for you and your family. You are going to see his faithfulness expand in this season. And we are...
Hi, my name is Ross. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm calling Because I'm tired. Honestly, family. Been in ministry for quite some time and I'm tired. I need prayer for encouragement, direction, clarity, and hearing God's voice. Rejuvenation of my spirit. Thank you, Sammy.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Dawn of a New Day. Father God, I just lift up from junk to treasure her heart, her soul, her mind. Right now, God, in the loss of her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter, God, I lift up the pain and the trauma of the heart of her son, God, of discovering his wife's car, God, and losing his child all in the same day. God, this mother needs you right now. She needs you for her soul. She needs you for her spirit. She needs you for her faith and her fight and her fire, God. We need a fire, God, to be down in her belly to help her son, to help her granddaughter whose birthday is the date of the funeral, God. For all of the layers of this tragedy, God, your hand is strong enough to heal. Your hand is long enough to hold, God. I thank you for your strength and your power and the incredible, awesome nature of your eternal comfort, God, that there is nothing like in the whole wide world. As my heart heals from the death of my father a few weeks ago, the breakdown of my son the day after, God, the breakdown of my mother, God. I'm praying right now, God, with the same fire for this family as I pray for my own. I'm praying for the mind of my sister the way I pray for my own mind, my own heart, and my own healing. I thank you that you are a God who hears us, who answers us, and responds to our faith. We love you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Brandon from Texas, and junk to treasure, I just can assure you this entire community is mourning with you and your family, and I really don't have words. I'm sorry for this tragic accident, and Lord, I just ask that your hand be on junk to treasure and her son and the entire family, Lord, and that you just work your wonders, Lord, and your miracles, and somehow bring good to this family from this tragedy, and just ask that your hand of comfort and peace and love be upon them. And it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
I don't have a good name yet, but didn't want to let that keep me from calling any longer. I've listened for a few years and never called in. Was thinking the other day how amazing it would be if some of you could pray for my husband, and it hit me. They can, you silly, if you would just call. So after God Smiles encouragement that played on May the 8th, I decided, here we go. I'll go by Anonymous in Arkansas for now. If you would, please pray with me. Lord, be with my husband. You know his heart. He has multiple health issues that have kept him working for over the last 8 years. I first and foremost pray for his soul. Lord, I hope that he can come to realize that nudge, that little voice that he feels talking with him is you, that he needs you to help fill that void that he feels. Lord, I pray for him physically. If it's your will to heal him, I know that you can do that. But if not, at least help us figure out how to manage his symptoms to keep them tolerable. Dear Lord, I also pray for his emotional health, not being able to work or contribute makes him feel very worthless. So I'm not worried financially. You always provide, Lord. I don't know how you do that, but I do. Thank you. I thank you in advance for answering our prayers. I thank you for the DAB family and the Harden family for following your lead. In Jesus' name. Amen.